There are some things that some people struggle with that others don't. You know, you may not have an issue with whether or not you drink beer or whether or not you play too many video games or whether or not you do A, B, and C. But what Judd said for me feels so true and right, because the Lord will meet us wherever we are and whatever we're going through. And that's the beauty of the Holy Spirit. It fits into all of our little cracks and crevices in our individual struggles. It revels in our triumphs and consoles us in our losses. So thanks for doing that, Judd. Anytime, if anybody, today we're going to talk about gratitude. Gratuity is when you tip people, and I waited tables for years. Not talking about gratuity, but you should tip your waiters. We're going to talk about gratitude. So thank you, Judd, for that. And I know the joy that you're feeling comes from gratitude, but all of it stems from our connection with the Holy Spirit. It's better for you that I go, because I'm going to send you a helper, and he's going to lead you into all the truth about your life. And so we strengthen that connection, however you'd like to do it. I like to think of prayer as a conversation, so there's a part where I speak, but then there's also a part where I try and listen, and it's even better to do it when my mother is playing the piano. Take it away, Mom. Thanks, Mom. Hello, everybody on Zoom. What was that old, it's like an old radio. I listened on YouTube to like 45 minutes of old-timey radio. It just left me. What do they call it when you're, when like they're doing the sound effects? Like, so the horses, what's it called? Yeah, Foley. So anyhow, they had all those old sound effects and the people, hello to the people in America and then the Navy in the oceans or whatever. So appreciate everybody coming. I had a wonderful week. What is new? But it wasn't because of how easy it was. It was because my connection with the Holy Spirit was strong enough to see me through some difficult times. And I want to talk about gratitude. You know, my father did a lot of prayer and deliverance. And I remember people sitting up here, and he used to like pray, and like people would be yawning, and he'd be like, that's deliverance. I must be so filled with the Holy Spirit. It's like everywhere I go, people are just yawning their heads off every time I start talking. Yawn, yawn, yawn. I'm like, dang, must be on fire right now. The kids are just, they're going through it right now in history. You're talking about Theodosius the First. Gotcha. Anyhow, but we, I'm grateful for them, and I'm grateful for you, grateful for this place. It's funny that Job was talking about what he was in AA. I had a friend who told me once, he came back from there, you got to have an attitude of gratitude. And I thought that was very clever. But I didn't really get it at first. Like, okay, whatever. But I believe that we must have an attitude of gratitude. What does that mean? You know, the Lord calls us to be grateful and loving. Before Jesus multiplies the bread and the fish, he gives thanks. Thank you for this small amount. Let me make it into a lot of amount. But I don't think it's just one of those admonishments. You know, I think often people feel like when people tell them to be grateful that they're trying to feel guilty. You know, people say, you know, there's children starving in Africa, so you better eat your bologna sandwich. Well, there may be children, but I'm still hungry. It's not about feeling bad, like you have it so good you don't even know. When I was a kid, we had to walk uphill both ways in the snow. But you kids and your iPhones, it's not about that. It's about have an attitude of gratitude is a way of consciously seeing the world. I played basketball with Brennan this week on Tuesday. And on Wednesday, I walked like the Tin Man and asked the Wizard of Oz for a heart. And he said no. And I was grateful that I was able to play. I used to love basketball. In basketball, though, they tell you to be on your toes, right? Even when you're playing defense, you're in a posture of being ready to go, right? Not flat-footed like Frankenstein's monster like I was guarding Brennan on Tuesday. We did win a game, and I buried a few shots. I don't want to brag, but so sweet. So when we're having an attitude of gratitude, we are proactively looking at the world in a certain way. That makes sense? It's not about the Lord is good and it's lost on you, pearls to the swine. Have an attitude of gratitude so that you see the world in a way that you will appreciate. There are so many people that I see on a regular basis who are complaining about all of the things in the world. And I don't say that as an admonishment to them. I say it as a sympathetic way because it seems very sad to me. And I know it's very sad because I lived that life for a long time, going around thinking about all of the things that I could complain about, rather than shifting my perspective and looking at all of the things that I have to be grateful for. But not only that, not only can I be grateful for the things that I have, I can be grateful for the things that I don't have. I can be grateful for the things that are good, but I also can be grateful for the things that are bad. For example, I had to work on Thursday. I normally get to go in the box, as I've told you. It's my favorite place in the world. It's my fortress of solitude. And I go there and I can just stock the milk and be one with the Lord in a freezing cold, small rectangular place. But I had to do, work chips, which I don't like to do. And what's worse, I had to work chips with one of my coworkers who shall remain nameless. And this coworker is, you know how like some people, when I was talking with Dogan and Aaron, it's like we like all of the same things, right? Have you ever met somebody who is like your polar opposite? If they say opposites attract, that must not be true for Gabe, because I have had a hard time with this person. Not in a way where we have conflict, but every time I speak to them, we can't go 10 seconds until they start complaining. You following me? So we go and they're complaining about the boss. They're complaining about the other coworkers. They're complaining about the job. Why didn't we do this? You remember when we used to do that? I do remember that. We don't do that anymore. Yeah, you're right. We don't do that anymore. Remember when? On and on and on and on and on. And not only that, this person makes those critical remarks often to other people. Even to me. Can you imagine? The very bastion of Trader Joe'snius. So when I got put on chips with this person that I find difficult, the enemy started his insidious weaponization of my negative thoughts, which I'm already prone to if I'm not following the word of the Holy Spirit. It's like falling in. It's like a song that you've heard every day since you were a kid. As soon as the music starts playing, you can go right into that tune. I'm like the Manchurian Candidate, just stand up and can say all of the negative complaints. And so when we were going to work together, I felt annoyed that I wasn't getting what I wanted. I felt further annoyed that I was having to do something I didn't want to do. And I felt triple annoyed with whom I had to do it. But the Lord revealed to me, Gabe, this is an excellent opportunity for you to practice what you preach. Talk is so cheap. Broad is the path that leads to destruction, and many who go down it, but narrow is the road that leads to salvation, the salvation of a 42-year-old man stocking chips at Trader Joe's late in the evening. I felt like he was saying to me, you're grateful for this person, Gabe, because they're giving you an opportunity to practice. Isn't that nice of them? And it wasn't sarcastic. It wasn't cynical at all. I was aware of my thoughts, and I was proactively loving and thanking this person in my heart. Because if I got angry with her, then I'm not a disciple of the Lord. And if I'm unable to love her, there's no way that she can connect with the Holy Spirit in the same way. But if I can be, instead of her complaining being met with, hey, you know, you really should be grateful for what you got, be a loving representative of him who loves her automatically without reservations. And I connected in a way that we both had a wonderful time stocking chips. And the conversation naturally went from complaining about all the things that were wrong with Trader Joe's to all of the things that were good in our lives. That is not a mistake or happenstance. That is the Lord of glory meeting me right where I'm at and helping me in a very particular way. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Thank you, nameless employee who I will not say. I want to have an attitude of gratitude. I want to be grateful. This is the day that the Lord has made. I want to rejoice and be glad in it. Not today, but every day. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Gratitude is a conscious way of intentionally seeing the world and your place in it. Much of our unhappiness comes from a lack of gratitude. The enemy coerces us to think about the things that are wrong with our lives or what we don't have rather than what is good in our lives. I use the example of Anthony Bourdain all the time. I don't know if you know him. but he was, I thought, a very funny, very witty chef and author. And he had a number of jobs where he would travel the world. And he would travel the world and eat wonderful food and stay at nice hotels and do all of these things. He had a dream job. He was wealthy. People adored him. But he was so miserable in his life that he hanged himself in the luxury suite hotel in Paris. You understand? Because the gratitude, the happiness can't come from out there. You could have gone to him and said, look at all of the things that you have. You're wealthy, you're famous, people love you, you travel the world, you live the most epic life that you could think of. But he couldn't see it. You understand? The enemy wants to rob us. He wants to steal from us. We live in a glorious time, in a glorious place. You think there's people in all over the world that wouldn't take your spot in a heartbeat? I know they'd take mine. And yet I can get up on a regular basis and look at all of the things that are wrong with me, all of the things that are wrong with my life. He tries to rob me of my children. They are such a boon to my existence. But I will focus on the one or two things that they do that annoy me and lose the forest for the trees. But if I can proactively set my mind to be in accordance with the Lord, then I can see the world how it actually is. Having that gratitude. Thank you, Lord. You could go to a small church and look at all the people who aren't here, or look at the people who are. We are so blessed to have this building and to have such wonderful people who come and make it happen. The enemy cannot rob from us if we don't let him. Be mindful of what you are saying. One of the ways that I could see that my poor coworker lives a very frustrating life is because of the things that come out of her mouth. This is not a judgment, I don't think. It's a statement of fact. Like we spoke about last week, it's not what goes into your mouth that defiles you, but what comes out, because it's evidence, it's proof of what is in your heart. That makes sense? So it's not about you say bad things, so you're a bad person. What you're thinking and what you're feeling will be what you're speaking. Does that make sense? So if she's saying these things to me on a regular basis, God only knows what she's thinking. She's not coming into work and saying, I am so blessed to work with such wonderful people. I get paid a solid wage for an awesome job. And then says all of the negative things that she says. Does that make sense? She's thinking to herself, look at this, look at this, look at this, look at this, look at this. And then that comes out of her. Which does not make her a bad person, but it does make her a person who's not living the life that she could do. Psalms chapter 9, verse 1. I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart. I will tell you all your wonders. I will be glad and exult in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. Judd coming up here and saying those things, it's not only that the Lord delivered him, but then now he's grateful, he's happy for it, and he's telling us. Because there's lots of things that I still got to work on. If the Lord could help him in that, then he could help me. And if I can be praising the Lord, then that's reflecting what's in my heart. Am I causing a lot of yawning in deliverance? Anyhow. I feel like my voice is a little scratchy, Connie. I got exactly what I wanted last night. Worked in the box all night long, all night. Stocking almond milks all night long. Had a wonderful time. It was great. I even got to work with Aiden. Talk about gratitude. Get to work with your son who's also... Can you imagine what would be better than being best friends with your dad? And if you ask him, he'll tell you, my best friend is my father, Gabriel. And so you could just imagine the gratitude beaming out of his face when he got to learn that he was going to be working in the cold box with the old man. Man, we had a good time. talking about things, sharing secrets. It was great, Steve. Had a good time. I love Trader Joe's, man. And I'm not saying, that's not hyperbolic. I'm not like pretending. I love Trader Joe's. I love my job. People say, you work a lot. I know. I love it. I love smiling. It's my favorite. It's from that movie, from the movie Elf. I wasn't always that way. People who have known me for years know that I was a kid who said, I hate vacation. How could you hate vacation, Gabe? By its very definition, it's a good thing. I hate it. But not anymore. The Lord has delivered me, you see? And he's delivering me still. His mercies are new every day. He saves me in the chip aisle. He saves me in the classroom. He saves me when we're singing praise and I come in too early and feel like a jerk. Better is when... You guys are so gracious. Ugh. It's like hit the trap door, fall through the floor. But I let it go. I'm not going to... He saves me. And I'm grateful to him for it. He has been calling me my whole life, and only recently have I been listening to him intently. And now he shows me the way. I'm grateful for my children. I'm grateful for the people in this room. I'm grateful for traffic. Not all the time, but sometimes I am. Even traffic. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph rode on a donkey. Would you rather sit in an air-conditioned Tesla or ride a donkey across the desert with bandits and Philistines all over the place? Give thanks with a grateful heart. All right. Part of the reason for this is that we often create an image of what we are owed. If the world fails to reach that, then we are left in pain. I often struggle with what I feel I deserve. That makes sense. I am your father, Aiden, and so I deserve X, Y, and Z. I am your teacher, children, so I deserve X, Y, and Z. Those are reasonable, I think. The Bible says, children, obey your fathers, or we'll drag you out into the street and stone you. You're so lucky. You are so lucky. If we lived back 2,000 years ago, I'd find a big old rock. Teasing. But then I carry that outside and I think of all of the things when somebody cuts me off. I think, how dare you? Do you even know who I am? Create this image of what the world owes you. And then it's consistently not met. Go to traffic, somebody cuts you off. I'll show you. I'll be angry alone in this car for the next 30 minutes. Smart. Thank you, random nameless driver, for giving me the opportunity to seek the Lord. Thank you, Jude, this morning when you didn't clean your room even though you said you were going to, for giving me an opportunity to seek the Lord. And I'm going to pray. How should I punish you in this way? So, Jesus talks about the laborers in the vineyard. Matthew chapter 20, verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. When he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius for the day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And to those he said, you also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right I will give you. And so they went. Again, he went out to the sixth and ninth hour and did the same thing. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing around. And he said to them, why have you been standing there idle all day long? They said to him, because no one hired us. He said to them, you go into the vineyard too. When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last group to the first. When those hired about the 11th hour came, each one received a denarius. When those hired first came, they thought that they would receive more, but each of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they grumbled at the landowner, saying, these last men have worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden and the scorching heat of the day. But he answered and said to one of them, friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go. But I wish to give this last man the same as you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with what is my own? Or is your eye envious because I am generous? So the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. At the beginning of the day, Those laborers were fine with the denarius. It's only when they saw that other people that they felt were getting more than what they deserved that they get unhappy. Did that make sense? I used to work at a restaurant called the CNO Trattoria where we sing That's Amore twice a night, every night. Yes, we did do that. When I first began, I saw that some people were making $300 a night, sometimes more. For 5 hours of slinging chicken parm, I was ready to go. And when I first started, I'd hear them grumbling, and I thought to myself, are you kidding me? $300 in 5 hours? I'd dress up like a clown and sing That's Amore. But wouldn't you know it, after a couple of months of working there, I started to grumble. What had been good was no longer good because I had gotten used to it. And I started to look at the other people. Wait, why are they getting that money? And why am I not getting that money? You see, the gratitude isn't about you are a bad person, take what you get. It's about be glorified and be grateful in the little things and you will be happy. If you're happy with one denarius, then you get two, you'll be even happier. But if you're grateful in the one denarius and you can be happy regardless of what everybody else gets, then you become bulletproof to the slings and arrows of the enemy. If you go into your work and you're constantly looking at everybody else, how come I have to do this and they don't have to do that? How come they get paid this and I don't get paid that? You're going to be miserable. That doesn't mean you don't have to advocate for yourself. It doesn't mean you don't have to ask for a raise and do all of those things. But be grateful with where you're at. And then move ahead. It's been like a revelation. It's opened up my mind, Connie. I can't even tell you. I can't describe it. All of the things that I used to think that I hate, that I used to fear, have been made easy. Like I've said a million times, he makes the rough places plain. If you told me in the past that I would have board meetings and worry about money and think about emails, I would think, well, should I just shoot myself right now or should I jump off of a bridge? But now it's something that comes easy. It doesn't matter what the world presents because I know greater is him who is in me than he who is against me. And he will always show me what to do. And so I'm grateful for that counsel. And I move forward in strength and in power. So can you. Many of you already do. This is just a reminder. Be grateful. Give thanks. I talk to my kids all the time about it. You leave your air-conditioned box where you play magical games of whimsy, and then you get in another air-conditioned box where you watch YouTube and talk with your friends. And then you enter another air-conditioned box. When it's too hot outside, we make it cool. When it's too cold outside, we make it hot. We were watching a boring documentary, and all the kids were going through plenty of deliverance about the Civil War. And they said, Mr. Frazier, why does their hair look that? And I said, well, children, that's because they didn't have showers. How glorious a shower is. But we take it for granted. Not anymore. A paradise created on earth for us. Beware of cynicism and whataboutisms. I was having a lovely conversation with a friend named Stephen at Trader Joe's. And we were talking about good things. We were talking about the meaning of life. And he was making music and he showed me some of his music. And I was like, dude, that's great music. I wasn't, you know, I'm not a big jazz guy. He was like, yeah, but it's about the notes they don't play. I was like, I don't get it. I was like, I like it, man, and I like that you like it. And we were talking about it. And so we kind of got to talking about other things. And another coworker came up, and we were talking about it. And we kind of all were having positive vibrations, loving the Lord. And somebody came in, and we started talking. And we were talking about, oh, we're talking about how good the world is. They're like, yeah, well, what about Ukraine? What about what's going on in Israel? What about it? That doesn't mean that I can't do something to help the people there. But if I'm not going to be happy until every billionth of a person is also happy, I'm not going to have any gratitude. Do you understand? If there is a way that I can help the people in the Ukraine, I will do it. But until said time, I'm going to be grateful for my own station. Do not let one problem in the world rob you from the gratitude that you should have. You were created a son and or daughter of God. And He created a world for you to live in and find people that you love and help them and love them and find meaningful work and enjoy this planet. And then we spend half the time worrying about our bills. Have gratitude. And if you're thinking in your mind about all of the things that you shouldn't be grateful for, that doesn't make you a bad person. But I'm sorry that you're going through that. You think I don't have problems? I do. I got lots of problems. I got lots of worries. I just attend to them when I can, and then once I have, I let them go, and I'm grateful to the Lord. It's not about better or worse. It's just about actions and consequences. Be grateful for the Lord. Right, Valerie? She knows what I'm talking about. Luke 17, 11 through 9. We're almost done. Another thing to be grateful for, Daniel, nobody has leprosy anymore that I know of. Can you imagine? Oh, I went swimming in the pool. How was your swim? Not great. My foot's falling off now. Leprosy, a disease that rotted your flesh until it killed you, was such a problem that they had protocol for strangers. If you had leprosy everywhere you had to go, that you would have to say, unclean, unclean, gross, away with you. So there's these 10 lepers walking down the street saying unclean, but they see Jesus and they know He's a man of power, so they go up and talk to Him. While He was on His way to Jerusalem, He was passing between Samaria and Galilee. As He entered a village, 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met Him, and they raised their voices saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When He saw them, He said to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. And as they were going, they were cleansed. Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at His feet, giving thanks to Him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they? Was no one found who returned to give glory to God except for this foreigner? And He said, stand up and go. Your faith has made you well. 10 men were healed. One man had a revelation. The other 9, now they're healed, but they just have more things to complain about. They stayed right where they were. One man goes back. His vision of the world has shifted. How many times do good things happen to us and we just take it as a matter of course? Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the little things and the big things. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to do something. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to be a teacher. Thank you, Lord, for these kids who are into my lessons. And thank you, Lord, for the kids who aren't, because they're going through deliverance. I see them yawning their heads off. Thank you, Lord, for the good. Thank you, Lord, for the bad. Be grateful for the good and the bad. Because if you're only grateful for the good, then your judgment of what is good or bad will leave you in a place where you're not fully satisfied. Did that make sense? Here comes the deep water. We're almost done. When my father passed, it was one of the worst things that ever happened to me. I felt lost, alone in the dark. If my car broke down, I called my dad. The only technical skill I have is I can hold a flashlight where a person can see into a car engine. I can't do anything besides that. I think when you're jumping a car, you put the black things on the red part. When I had a moral question, and then when he passed away and we started going through the church, I found, I didn't know it at first, but I found that I was avoiding thinking about him. I was avoiding looking at pictures of him because the pain that I felt when I would see pictures of my sister and my father, it hurt. And most people don't like to be hurt. And so I found myself avoiding them. I wouldn't look at pictures of my children's mother because it hurt. But the enemy will not rob me of the wonderful memories that I've had with these people. And so I make a conscious attitude, a conscious decision to think about them and fill my heart with gratitude for the time that I got to share with them. Thankful for how they helped me to become the man that I am, and grateful for the belief, the knowledge that I will see them one day in the future. I look at their picture and I try and channel all of my attention to gratitude. Thank you. And I'm taking back what the devil stole from me. You understand? Not only did he take my father, but then he tried to take his memory. But I won't let him, you see? I won't let him do it. I make a conscious effort, a decision. The Lord is in me. And he will show me the way. He'll show me how to be grateful even in pain. Thank you, Dad. Thank you, Darce. Thank you for Marshall. And when I see them again 200 years from now, when I die in the robot wars on Mars, they will say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." And I'll say, "You already know." Gratitude. Gratitude. By your standard of measure, it's measured back. You give a little, you get a little. That's not a problem. That doesn't make you a bad person. If you get up and don't do somersaults to your car because you're so grateful that you don't live in another part of the world, that doesn't make you a bad person. But if you can be grateful on Monday morning on your way to work, guess what? You won the lottery. Enjoy it. It's awesome. And come and see me at Trader Joe's, store 119. You'll see me smiling from ear to ear like an idiot because I love it. I make terrible jokes to people and they don't laugh, but I don't care. This thing on? Did you hear what I said about the dates, lady? Did I tell you that joke?
No.
All right. We at Trader Joe's, they don't have any signs, so people ask where everything is. This lady goes looking for something, and she said, "Hey, can you help me find the dates?" And I was like, "Well, I certainly can try, but I've always had trouble finding dates." Crickets. Nothing. And she's kind of an older lady, so as I was walking, I don't know what got into me. I thought, maybe she just didn't hear me. But I mean, like, that's like a slam dunk, right? That's me coming down the baseline and lobbing it up. "You set them up, lady. I'll knock them down. Don't you worry about that." And I was like, "Hey, ma'am, did you hear about the joke I said?" And she's like, "Oh, I heard you." And I was like, "Well, they're right here. Have a wonderful day." I mean, come on. That's dinner and a show right there. Then I thought to myself, "Thank you, Lord, for giving me this opportunity to be humbled. God knows I need it." Be grateful this week. Be grateful. I was talking with Brennan this week when we were playing basketball. I'm not going to tell his story because it's his to tell. But when he told me about how he had gratitude and how the Lord helped him through that dark time, it hit me right in my face. If he can be grateful in a time like that, how can't I? And I thought to myself, "Thank you, Lord." And I said to Brennan, "Thank you, Brennan." Bow! And then I hit a 3-ball. Be grateful. And if you ever want to get coffee and talk about how the Lord has done good things for you, I want to be there and hear it. Where two or more are gathered, there I am in their presence. It's good. It's just good. It's the good news. Be blessed. Be blessed in your lives. Be blessed in your relationships. Be blessed in your jobs. Be blessed in your cars. Be blessed in your finances. Be blessed in your children. And come back next week and tell me all about it. Not you, Val. You have to be quiet. We're going to close with a word of prayer. And then my mother is going to play piano while we do communion. You do not have to be a member of this church to take communion. Jesus Christ has saved me. He saved you. And he lives to help us. I encourage you to take communion and remember him. Put him first and foremost in your life and follow him and be grateful for all of the good things he has done. So if you'll bow your heads and close your eyes, we'll do communion. Lord, thank you. Thank you for this building. Thank you for these wonderful people. Thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to follow you. Bless us, Lord. Heal us in our bodies. Protect us in our lives. Help us to find ways and means to seek you. Give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and a heart that understands you. Protect us from the work of the enemy and bring us back next week filled with grateful hearts of your good news. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.